Bible speaks to us about many wonderful mothers. The Bible speaks to us about Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Samuel was a boy that was born out of the prayers of his mother. And Hannah had promised the Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate that boy to you. And that is exactly what Samuel's mother, Hannah, did. We read about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The incredible courage and faith of Jochebed is amazing. At the time that she gave birth to Moses, all of the male children in Egypt were being killed. But through the providence of God, it was Pharaoh's daughter who found Moses. And through the providence of God, it was Pharaoh's mother, Jochebed, who actually raised Moses. We read about the mother of noble character in Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible tells us in verse 28 of Proverbs 31 that her children rose up and called her blessed. That is, after they had reached adulthood, after they were grown and could look back at their mother and give a correct understanding of her, her children said, "We were blessed to have the mother we had." We read about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one who was chosen to give birth to the Messiah and to raise that Messiah. But now this morning, we want to turn our attention to one of the great mothers in all of the Bible. And this morning, who we are going to look at is we are going to look at Eunice, the mother of Timothy. Now let me have your minds right here. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about the unique situation that Eunice was in raising Timothy. I don't know if you've ever stopped to consider what her situation was as she had to raise her son. So here's how the lesson is going to unfold so everybody knows what's coming. We're going to begin by looking at two passages of Scripture. And they're going to set the basis for everything. Two passages of Scripture. Then I'm going to share with you three things by way of introduction. Now, this introduction is going to serve to explain to us the circumstances that Eunice found herself in trying to raise her son, Timothy. And then finally, I'm going to share with you very quickly three observations about Eunice as a mother that make application to mothers everywhere. Now let's look at the two passages. First of all, let me ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. You're going to need a Bible, and in Acts 16, we're going to read a verse here, and then I want you to hold this passage, and then we're going to go to another passage, and we're going to keep coming back and forth to these two passages. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. He, the Apostle Paul, came to Derbe and then Lystra. Derbe and Lystra were cities. The Apostle Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Now hold Acts 16. We're coming back several times. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then you're going to hold that too, as these are going to be the passages we bounce back and forth from. If you have it, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Here the Apostle Paul is now writing to a much older Timothy. Verse 5, Paul says to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now let me share with you three things by way of introduction. The introduction is explaining the circumstance that Eunice was in with Timothy. First, let me say by way of introduction, let's look at Eunice's city. The city. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 says that Timothy and his mother lived in the city of Lystra. The very first time that the gospel was ever preached in the city of Lystra is found in Acts the 14th chapter, and the very first time the gospel was ever preached in that city, they took the preacher, stoned him, and drug him outside the city and left him for dead. In Acts the 14th chapter, that preacher was the Apostle Paul. He had preached the gospel. The people of Lystra had allowed themselves to be stirred up by others. And verse 19 of Acts 14 says, when they stoned him and took him outside the city, and when they walked away from him, they thought they had killed him. The people of Lystra were an evil people. These were a savage people. But it was in, listen to me, it was in this evil city, a part of this evil culture, that Eunice had to raise Timothy. Notice with me, second, by way of introduction. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 now, verse 5. Let's read verse 5 again, and we want to take a look at Eunice's mother. Verse 5. Paul says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and am persuaded it now lives in you. This is the only place in the Bible where Eunice's mother is named. Her name was Lois. What Paul tells us about her is that Lois, Eunice's mother, was a Christian. It further tells us that Lois passed on her faith to her daughter, Eunice, and that that faith of Lois and then Eunice was then passed on to Timothy, and Paul was now observing the faith of his grandmother and his mother now in his own life. So her city was evil. Her mother was good. Thirdly, by way of introduction, Eunice's husband. Her husband. Go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Paul came to Derbe and then Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. That verse tells us three things about Timothy's father. First, it tells us that Timothy's father was a Greek. That is, he was a Gentile. Now, Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a Jew. For a Jew to marry a Gentile was very much an exception to the rule and not the rule. In fact, in Ezra the 9th chapter and in verse 12, such a marriage under the old law would have been prohibited. But now, even in the early years of Christianity, in Acts 16, this is a marriage that very much would have been frowned upon by society. He was a Greek. Notice, secondly, about Timothy's father here is that the context suggests that he was never a convert to Judaism. If he had been a proselyte was a Gentile who converted to the Jewish religion, Judaism. If he had been a convert to Judaism, then Timothy's father would most certainly have had Timothy circumcised. But what we find out from the context is that Timothy had never been circumcised. So Timothy's father appears to have had no religion in him at all. The third thing we notice about Timothy's father, and this is significant, and I'm not being technical to be technical, I'm being technical for just a moment to draw out what is in there, and that is that the text suggests that Timothy's father, even in Acts 16, has already deceased. He's dead. Look at the end of verse 1. It says that his father was, the word was there is an imperfect tense, that his father was a Greek. And in fact, ancient manuscripts have now been uncovered which flatly say that Eunice, the mother of Timothy, was indeed a widow. You say, what in the world are we getting to? Here's what the whole introduction is getting to. Here's what we have. Here is Timothy. He is being raised by his Christian mother, Eunice, who is being assisted by her mother, Timothy's grandmother, Lois. But Eunice is a single parent. Now here's the question. Can a single Christian parent raise a child in a culture of sin and in an environment of people who are godless and still have that child grow up and serve God and be faithful to God. Now, the answer that Eunice would give to that question is yes, it's possible for a single parent to raise a child in a bad environment and still make it count if the parent is on the stick with it. Amen. Now, from all that we've learned, three observations. Observation number one, mothers can greatly influence their children. Now follow my line of thought here. Sometimes the best way to see something clearly is to hold up its polar opposite next to it. We call that contrast. And by the contrast, we're able to see more clearly both sides of it. You understand what I said? Now, let's go back. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to make a contrast. One more time, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul tells an older Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded it lives in you also. Now look at me, listen to me. Paul says that the genuine, the non-hypocritical faith that I see in Timothy is a faith that I first saw in your grandmother Lois, and then I saw this non-hypocritical faith in your mother Eunice. And now the faith in God that I saw in them has been passed on to you, and it's evident you have their faith. You got it? Brethren, that is an example of godly parental influence. Godly parental influence. Now, let's make a contrast from the Old Testament. Go back with me now to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 22. You're going to come to 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles. We're going to make a contrast now. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. This is about a man named Ahaziah. He was actually a king, Ahaziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Look at verse 4. He, that is Ahaziah, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now pause right there. Ahaziah did evil in the sight of God. Brethren, actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Now what was the result
of him doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at verse 7. It says that God brought about Ahaziah's downfall. Now look at me and watch this carefully. This young man, Ahaziah, does what is evil in the eyes of God. As a result of that, God brings him down. Plainly spoken, Ahaziah dies because of his lifestyle. Now, what is the explanation for this? Who was the great influence in Ahaziah's life that brought him to such a tragic end? Who did this to him? Go back up to the end of verse 3. For his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. The explanation for Ahaziah's tragic downfall and death can be traced back to his mother, who encouraged him to do what is wrong. Now, right there is an example of an evil parental influence. Are you listening? Who was the influence in the life of Ahaziah's mother that caused her to encourage her son to do evil, who did do evil, and God killed him for it? What is the explanation, and who was the influence in that mother's life that caused her to influence her son in a godless way? Ahaziah's mother's mother, his grandmother, was a woman named Jezebel. Now here it is. Here it is. Lois influences Eunice. Eunice influences Timothy. And Timothy, because of the godly parental influence, becomes a great servant of God. And now here is godless Jezebel, who influences her daughter. She then influences her son. And here is a godly parental influence. What am I saying? I'm saying, mother, you can influence your children greatly. And the influence can be good or bad. The influence can be that of Eunice, or the influence can be that of Jezebel. Four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One of the scholars says, my favorite translation is the old King James Version because of its poetic form. The second scholar says the American Standard Version
is my favorite translation of the Bible because of its literal meaning. The third scholar says my favorite translation is the New Living Way translation because of its contemporary English. And the fourth scholar said my favorite translation of the Bible is my mother's translation. And they looked at him and said, your mother translated the Bible? And he says, yes. She translated every verse of the Bible by the way she lived her life every day. And that is the best translation of all. The reason that the Apostle Paul had so much confidence in Timothy is because Paul knew his mother so well. Mothers can greatly influence their children. Number two, the second observation here, mom and dads too, time is limited. Time is limited. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully here. The time that we have to develop the hearts of our children, and the time that we have to set their characters, is a limited time. I'll show you from the text. If you go back to Acts 13, the Apostle Paul is on the first missionary journey. On the first journey, a young man by the name of John Mark turns and he goes back home. Luke does not tell us why he left the journey, but he did. Now, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the second missionary journey is starting right here. So Paul needs a replacement for John Mark, who went back on him on the first journey. And when Paul starts the second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul comes to Lystra, and Paul says, I found a replacement here. Acts chapter 16, verse 2 and verse 3. The brothers at Lystra and Iconia spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. The Apostle Paul had converted Timothy on the first trip through Lystra in Acts 14. You say, how do you know that? Because over and over again, Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. Well, if Timothy was Paul's spiritual child, then Paul converted him. That's how he got there. And so now Paul says, everybody I've talked to talks well of him. I want him to come with me now on the journey. Now, brethren, listen and follow this. This is important. You need to understand what is happening here at Acts 16. What is happening here in Acts 16 is that Timothy is going to now leave with the Apostle Paul. And for the next 20 years, Timothy is going to work taking the gospel to the Mediterranean world with the Apostle Paul. Understand what's happening here. Timothy is about to leave his mother. Timothy is about to leave grandma. Timothy is about to leave home. Timothy is about to leave his friends. Timothy is about to leave Lystra. What if his mother Lois had cried, "Now wait a minute, wait, the boy's not ready yet." There are things that I haven't taught him. There are things that he doesn't know. There are things that he needs to know. He's not ready to go yet. I'm saying to us, both mother and fathers, the time that we have to set the character of our children, our time is limited. Let me illustrate this so that everybody will understand. You have either done this yourself or you've seen this. Pouring concrete. The only way to have a good finish in pouring concrete, the only way to have a good finish in pouring concrete is that you have to work that concrete before it gets hard. Because if you wait until that concrete is set, the only way to fix it is take a jackhammer to it. Are you listening? In working with that child, you got to work for the concrete set. Those sponge years where they absorb and take in everything. Our two boys were raised with t-shirts, a bunch of them, that all said the same thing on the front: guaranteed to repeat anything. That wasn't for them. That was for me. Mothers can greatly influence their children. Time is limited. Thirdly, and we close, opportunities are precious. Opportunities are precious. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a verse we haven't read yet, let me end with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures." From the time that Timothy was an infant, his mother Eunice took every opportunity to teach that boy the Word of God. Let me tell you something about opportunities. Opportunities will present themselves in a moment. And if you don't seize them when they're gone, you will never catch them. It's Mother's Day, 2017. Now, Mother's Day for many is difficult. It's difficult. Maybe you've always wanted to be a mother, but for whatever reason, medically or otherwise, you cannot be a mother. And so Mother's Day reminds you of what you cannot be. For others, maybe your mother was not the best mother in the world. And your memories of Ma aren't very fond. And so every year at Mother's Day, you are reminded of situations at home. What you'd like to do is forget forever. For others of us, Mother's Day is difficult because our mothers have passed on. And so every Mother's Day we wake up and all that we have is a head full of memories. Mother's Day is difficult for others because you've lost a child. And so every Mother's Day, you wake up and there is this loss that just runs through your mind and runs through your heart. There are some things that I very vividly remember about my mother. I remember them second per second, and how these things happened. I remember my mother walking me home from kindergarten as a 5-year-old. 5 blocks away, as we would cross Beneteau and Little Bridge and Fairview and LeMay and Mount Clemens and Mount Clair, where we would turn left and go to the end of the block where Lingaman Elementary School was. I remember her walking me home as a 5-year-old and stopping at LeMay and Edley at a stop sign and holding a stop sign and taking her shoe off. I remember her at Fairview and Edley, where there was a big city mailbox, stopping and putting her hand on that mailbox and taking that same shoe off. And I remember as a 5-year-old thinking, why is it taking so long for us to get home here? What is going on? And we got to Beneteau and Edley. I remember every second of this. She stops again. And I'm thinking, what are we doing? Come on. So we get to the house, and she lays down on the couch. She had suffered a stroke out there on that street, and she was just trying to get home. For 7 years, she lived, and 50 years ago, medical science wasn't like it is now. So the stroke led to a really bad heart, and the stroke and the really bad heart led to sugar, and the stroke and the sugar and the really bad heart led to all of these problems. And I remember as a kid spending birthdays in hospital and spending a Christmas in hospital because of my mother. And then I remember as a 12-year-old, the day she died. It was her and I at home alone. And I'd gone onto the front porch, and between 3:10 and 3:15, I came from the porch back into the house, and she was laying on the floor. And I had always been told This is what you do if something's wrong with Ma. Now, on paper, it's real good. But when you're 12 and you're looking at your mother on the floor, putting that paper into practice isn't all that well. But I did a couple things right. Now, here's my point. That's my story. And you're looking at somebody who's lucky. I'm lucky because my mother was a Christian. I'm lucky because my mother struggled for 7 years between my ages of 5 and 12. She struggled every day to stay alive to try to drive some sense into her son. I'm lucky. Now, maybe that's not your story. Maybe your mother was not a Christian. And you don't have any of that. But here is the good news. The good news is that even if you never had a Christian mother, from this day and forevermore, you can be a Christian mother. You can give your children what you never got. And that's a good thing. It's Mother's Day. We love you, Ma. If we ever had a vote to keep you, I'd probably vote to keep you. But time is limited. Time is limited. And whatever your situation is, at home, if it's like Lois's and Eunice or not, whatever your situation is, you snuggle up next to God and He'll help you with your deal. He'll help you with your deal. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're away from God this morning, your first step is getting back to God. If you need to come, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.